Elisha was physically dead, because spiritually he's alive in God, and only his bones are left. So he is not exercising faith. But when that dead body contact the bones of Elisha and touch it, the dead man resurrected, got up, and he must have called to his friends, "Hey fellas, come back here and get me." Those guys ran faster. Perhaps. But they may have come to explore. Say, hey, you know, after they run for some time, say, "Hey, maybe he's still alive," or whatever. But they were sure he was dead. When they pulled that guy, he was solid, healed, resurrected, and a new life because of the dead bone that carried the anointing. That was the level he lived with God. So that the anointing soaked right into his bone marrow. And it was on him even when he don't exercise faith. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, for him, faith is now normal. That's a covenant relationship. The third tool that Elisha used is in chapter 3, the minstrel, in verse 15. "Now bring me a musician." Now these two others have used before. "Bring me a musician," and it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. He learned the minstrel. He may not be the one playing, but he depend and he learned to flow in the minstrel. That was his third tool. Now that minstrel represents praise and worship. Praise and worship. We are talking about keys that Elisha has shown us, recorded by the Holy Ghost, to move into a deeper, higher anointing. Even the beginning of his life is a story about how to move into double portion. So Elisha's life, if you are interested in moving in a stronger anointing, Elisha's life is a key to study. The third tool is music. He used that tool to flow into the Spirit. It's powerful. I cannot describe what it's like. Some people say, "I don't know why I can't feel God. I don't understand them." You know why? Because God can be felt for me easily. If I'm ever at a time when, quote unquote, cannot really feel God, I would take up musical instruments, whether it be piano or guitar, and I'll just worship. And I will guarantee you, within a short time, I will just be all over in tears because of the anointing of God that soaks down. If you ever want to feel, using the word correctly, and balance that anointing, you worship God. And when you know what it feels like and what the tangibility of it is as you worship, then when you stand to minister, you know when it's there, when it's not there. All I have to do is just take a guitar, take the piano, and I'll just worship God. And worship God. And the more I worship God, the more it comes. And for me, God is an everyday experience. God is not that I accepted Jesus Christ 17 years back and that was my experience. Now the rest of my life I live by faith. It is still by faith. It is still by faith. I don't depend on feelings. But I know what it's like to experience God's presence. And it is not something... Some people think that you're born again, you experience God once. Baptized in the Spirit, twice. Then the rest of the way, no more. Until Jesus comes again, third time. No, His name is Emmanuel. God with us. Study this Bible and you will realize God wants us to experience His presence every day. We must be balanced. We don't go to one side, you know, where you depend on feelings all the time. My emotions, my feelings, charge. Then sometimes get discharged. And you're very volatile Christian. Unstable like the waves. We don't want to be that kind of Christian. Depend on feelings. And feelings are not there, you know, you won't do. And people call you, you know, come let's do visitation. I don't feel like it. Pastor, would you like to preach the next Sunday? You know, no, I don't feel like preaching. Don't feel. You cannot base a Christian life on feeling, of course. But then the other extreme that we must realize is where you've got no feelings. Try singing a song without feelings. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. No feelings. Say, brother, why don't you have feelings? Wait, I live by faith. Sing by faith. No, the other extreme, we sometimes, because we lean more on the intellectual side than on feelings in our society, we tend to teach people, and that's what we, you know, we tend to teach people, you know, hold back your emotions, you know, don't cry, don't do this. And we make a person intellectual, so to the extent that they sort of lose their feelings. And they're over here, and that creeps into Christianity, and we are over here, and there's no feelings. See, no need feelings, we got Bible enough. But the Bible was supposed to lead you to the real God. God is not a theology. God is a person. Theology is the study of God by man trying to understand as much as possible. But God is not a theology. You never find in the Bible, God is theology. Now, I want you to know, I'm not against theology. I encourage people to pursue theological studies. All my associate pastors are doing that. They are working towards doctorates on theology. And I work through all those areas too. I hold doctorate in theology. I work hard. I didn't get it by free or by honors. We have to work. Transfer some of the credits through and take correspondent courses and all that. You like to, then we can introduce you to. And, but it's hard work. It's hard to think. We're not against it, but we must be balanced. God is not theology. The Bible says God is love. God is light. And Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were so detailed in the commandments of God, and he says, you guys are doing all those things supposedly for God, with good intention, but Jesus said, you have the scriptures, you search the scriptures, you analyze the scriptures, but you don't come to me. And Jesus is there and they don't come to him. God is a person. Your wife, your husband is a person. Not just an idea. Your marriage is not an idea. Go to your wife and say, dear, you're just an idea. See what happens, whether she's real or not. She will show you that she's real. She's not just an idea. Now, the marriage is, in a sense, an idea from God. One man, one wife. A relationship is an idea and built on idealism and ideal principles. See, we need ideas to understand concepts of marriage. Because there are so many definitions of marriage today. The world is trying to redefine it. So, marriage is an idea, but it's not just an idea. It's the relationship of two people who commit themselves to one another. So, what we are stressing is God is a person. He's real, he's feelable, touchable. The only thing is a different realm, is the spirit realm. But it's feelable, touchable, experienceable, if there's such a word. That's what a person is like. And that's number three here. Praise and worship will help you to experience. The Holy Spirit is here tonight. And although now we are in the teaching anointing, But I can assure you, if we just want to take time and worship God, we can bring the experiential side of Him in. Easily. You say, do we control the anointing? No. But we know Him well enough to know how to experience Him. How to flow with Him. God is an experience. The Holy Spirit is right here. There are times when He allows me to experience Him. And there's only one secret of experiencing God. Worship. Worship. So you kneel down as you worship God. With all your heart. Forget about trying to follow the words or follow this. Let it come from your heart. And as you flow with God, if you remember the songs and you sing it from your heart, sing it and sing it, then worship Him and in spirit and in truth, worship and sing. I will guarantee you, you reach a point, bang, God is your experience. And it can be every day. So we want to be balanced. We still live by faith and walk by faith. But we also develop experience. Then the anointing can be strong in our life. In the fourth two, there are only five twos that he used. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 4. The oil, and all later you find he used in other areas of his ministry. He anointed Jehu and he used oil in other areas. 2 Kings chapter 4. He says, he talks about oil. In verse 3, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbor. Empty vessels, do not gather just a few. When you come in, you shall shut the door behind you and you, your sons, and then pour it on all those vessels. 2 Kings chapter 4. Later on, you can find that in chapter 9, verse 1, Elisha instructed one of the sons of the prophets to take oil. Apparently, they have all used for anointing. So he gives some oil to the son of the prophet, one of the sons of the prophet, to run and anoint Jehu. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 1. So oil was his fourth tool. We have not covered in detail in this area, we are just covering generally. But here's the key that you can go back and study more. If you want to study how to operate each tool, study those times it occurred. Salt, analyze all those methods you use. New bowl, what does new bowl represent? And all this involved in those salt. See, new bowl represents you've got to be thoroughly clean by the word. My word has made you clean. Before you can get into a salt, the salt can come on a new bowl, covenant relationship with God. See, we could make a whole sermon out of just that words. There are two verses. But because we're covering on a theme, I just give you general areas to study. If you want to study the mental, then you study 2 Kings chapter 2. How that mental came and all those points involved in the mental. And we've only given one. And then in 2 Kings chapter 3, you're going to study about the minstrel, all those things involved. And look at all these three kings coming together. And those three kings represent different things. One of them is a good king. The other two are bad kings. And those two bad ones represent two different distractions to worship. Because Jehoshaphat was the one who brought the worship in. Because he brought the prophet in. So there are many other studies we'll go through. I'm just giving you enough theme to realize 2 Kings is a rich book. Some of you read 2 Kings, all these stories, you know, king die, you know, king live, king die. You know, wondering what you can get out of it. So I'm telling you, it's a very rich book that you could go into. I've only given you just the first thought, and from there you could analyze more. And here we have oil, and oil is a famous symbol and a family symbol in the Bible. Oil represents in the Old Testament the anointing upon, and in the New it represents the anointing upon and anointing within. Now generally oil in the Bible represents the person of the Holy Spirit. That's the fourth tool. Learn to relate to Him. I can't express what the Holy Spirit is like. He's so gentle that the slightest word can jar or grieve Him. A lot of Christians are not sensitive to the person of the Holy Spirit. How do I describe? It's just like, if you know what the Holy Spirit is like as a person, Do you know that even if the wrong thought comes to your mind, there is a sensation of grief? If you don't sense it, you're not sensitive to Him yet. That's what it's like. I'm talking about what Catherine Kuhlman said when she says, don't grieve the Spirit. People don't realize how sensitive, in fact sensitive would be a very light word,